Okay. Good morning. Today's daf and getting is Yud Zayin. We're going to be starting on Tet Zayin Amud Beis. We are about 8-9 lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to be starting with the words Itmar Nami. Okay, we are litigating, and for the first half of today's daf, we're going to continue litigating. Two people are bringing the get. Shnaim Sheheviu. So when two people bring the get, is there a requirement to say, for them to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam? Okay, these are going to be one of the last days of the daf. You're going to be hearing these words. Now, I know we've been discussing this for over 2 weeks here in the daf, of this requirement to b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Okay, it's an extraordinarily long sugya. And so we get to hear about it one more time. When one person delivers a get, so the requirement is that one shliach has to say b'fanei nechtam. Okay, and in terms of explanation, see above. I'm not going to go through it again. Okay, it's a whatever. It's good. It's good. It's chazar. It's review. It's very good. Okay. The question becomes when two are delivering the get. So do they have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? And that has been a point of contention. So already we saw it earlier in the Masechta. We saw it all the way back on Daf Hey. But really, yesterday's Daf, today's Daf is where the Gemara really litigates this issue. And when I say litigates, I mean there are two opinions on it. Now the two opinions are very simple: either yes or no. Either there is or there isn't a requirement. What's Rav Yochanan's position? Hold on tight for today, because we're really going to try to, we're going to struggle in terms of determining what exactly Rav Yochanan's position is. And so, let's get underway. In Renami. So, Am Rav Yudah, Shem Sheviu, Get Me Medina Siyam, Ubanan, Lamachlokas Rav Yudah, Rabbanan. So, when two people are bringing the Get Me Medina Siyam, so is there a requirement for them to say, B'fanei Nechtam, B'fanei Nechtam? So that's the Machlokas between Rav Yudah and the Chachamim. Now, over here, I'm not going to open up the Mishnah again, but in other words, what the Gemara is referring to is the Mishnah that we did at the opening of the second Perek, meaning 2 days ago. Right? Yeah, right. Well, today's daf is Yud Zayin, so I could say it. So 2 days ago, so when we opened up the second Perek and we started with the alternate cases of people bringing, one person saying b'fanei nechtam, two people saying b'fanei nechtam, et cetera, et cetera. So there was a machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. What is a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim? So Itmar Nami, so the Gemara says is that the machlokas is when two people bring it, do they have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? That's the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Let's continue. Rabbi Bar Bachana Chalash, the Gemara tells a story where Rabbi gets ill. Ola gabei Rav Yehuda v'Rabba. Lishayu lebei. And so people come to visit the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim we saw back in Nedarim, Daf Mem, Lamites Mem. So the requirement to go visit somebody when they're sick. And so good. So over here, the Gemara tells us incidentally, so when this Rabbi Bar Bachana got sick, so he was visited. So Bami Neshayim Sheviv Gem Mimidinishayim Sarach Yomer B'fanei Nechtam. Oh, Ein Tzrichem. And so, of course, why the Gemara is bringing this over here, aside from reminding us that we have to visit somebody when they're sick, is that they are opening up our discussion again. And that is that when two people are delivering the get, is there a requirement to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Amar lahem ein tzrichim. Uma ilu yomer b'fanei negirsha milo mehemne. Okay, so he says there's no requirement because consider the following. And again, this is now the second time in our Masechta that we're hearing this argument. Let's say I have two people who are not delivering a get, but just simply testifying. And two people say this woman's a divorced woman. What do we do from that point going forward? It's called two Edom. When two Edom are giving us something which is factual, so the halach is that we believe those two Edom. In other words, they have ne'emanus, they establish things. She was a married woman, yeah, but the two women say that, I'm sorry, but the two Edom say that she was divorced. So, if two people can testify that a woman's divorced, so doesn't it stand to reason that if the two are delivering the get, so that they don't have to say b'fanei nechtam, meaning even in the absence of a get, if they just simply say that this woman's divorced, they could establish that. So now when they deliver the get, they need to say b'fanei nechtam. So that argument, which we heard already in the Masechta back in Daf Hey, so we get to hear it again in today's Daf. It seems to be an extremely strong argument that would indicate that when two deliver the get, they don't have to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So, and now, as long as we're here in the story, the Gemara now gives us a couple more details regarding the story, and that is, in comes the Chavra. Now, Chavra says Rashi is a Persian. Okay. Tosus quibbles, more than quibbles. Tosus argues on this point of Rashi, but I'm just going to present this. It's all, anyway, incidental to our larger discussion. But in comes the Chavra, where now on the top of your Zayin, Amad Aleph, Shakal, Shagra, Mikamayu. And what does he do? He takes a fire away from them. So, and why is he taking the fire away from him? So Rashi describes that the Persians had a holiday. On their holiday, so what they would do is that they would ban everybody from lighting lights in their house, and they would light lights only in their temples. Okay, so this was a Yom Eid, a specific holiday of the Persians, and so therefore, on those nights, we weren't able to learn, right, for most of human history, so there was no such thing as any kind of artificial lighting during the night. In other words, if you want to read at night, so what did you do? It's called a candle. It's called a lamp. And so when the lamp is taken away, right, it's so hard for us to think like this, but when the lamp is taken away, okay, so good night, meaning that's the end of your evening, right? Nothing to do other than to go to sleep. So anyway, so over here on this one night, so the Persian took away the light. So Am Rachman al Betuch al Betula de Bar Esav. So he says, so his response to that is, either, he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, basically it's like a tefillah, I want to be either in your shadow, meaning you, capital Y. I want to be in your shadow, al Betuch al de Bar Esav, or with the Romans, meaning right now, anything's better than our current situation. Our current situation is that we live amongst the Persians, and they are, now I'm saying everything relative to the time they lived in, so, and they're the worst. They're the worst. So the Gemara says, Lamema de Ramai Malumi Parsai. The Gemara says, really? All right, so in other words, side by side comparison, you're telling me that Persians are worse than Romans. The Gemara says, that's not true. Vatini Rabbi Chia Mai Dichsiv. So we start with a pasuk in Eov, 28th parak. So Elokim Evin Darkav Hu Yadas Mekomam. And the Gemara now is darshaning that pasuk in Eov. Yodei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bisol Shein Yichol Mekabel Gzeres Ramayim. Amar Vehigla Osam LeBavel. So you think it's just happenstance that we left Eretz Yisrael go to Bavel? It's not happenstance, meaning Hakadosh Baruch Hu knew that we couldn't tolerate the Romans. Now, you and I both know that drasha needs a lot more explanation, meaning it's not everybody that left Eretz Yisrael. There was still an enclave of a Jewish community and a major yeshiva in parts of Eretz Yisrael, meaning that the post-Churban Bayis Sheni. So the vast majority of the Jews who stayed in Eretz Yisrael went up north, but they stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and they were under some sort of Roman rule. So over here, okay, so, but it's an enclave. In other words, the Gemara is just giving a larger perspective of, hey, you know, a vast majority of the Jewish people went and exiled to Bavel. And that's Ashkacha, meaning that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us. So the Gemara says so. And why? Because there's no way we could withstand the Romans. Oh. So now we're confused, meaning I'm trying to do a side-by-side comparison of Romans, Persians, who's worse. So on one hand, on that Persian holiday when they take the fire away from us, so basically a tefillah that, I wish we were by the Romans. And meanwhile, we just heard a drasha together that the Romans are the worst. That's why we had to leave Israel, because Israel was under Roman rule. So which one's the worst? So lokasha mikamade denesu chaver labava alabasa deasu chaver labava. So the Gemara says, okay, you kind of saw this answer coming. And that is that, in other words, it depends. Before the Chavrai came. Now, if I could describe to you who these Chavrai were. Now, Chavrai, right, usually the word Chavra means a friend or a Chaver. But over here, Chavrai, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, but don't matter. In other words, it was some sort of elemental group that existed amongst the Persians. And they were really bad. It was a bad lot. And it seems to be that they were not indigenous to Persia. They came into Persia. So prior to the Chavrai coming into Persia, whoever they were, I simply don't have enough knowledge to tell you who they are, where they came from. But before the Chavrai came, so then it was a no-brainer. Then Bavel was a much better place than Eretz Yisrael. But once the Chavrai came into Bavel, then it became almost intolerable. Okay, it's really that simple. Anyway, all this was a sidebar. What happened is that we just opened up the case of when two are delivering the get, do they have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechtam? So right now, as the story goes, no, you don't have to. And an argument also is given as to why not. And then in the story, he was sick. They went to go visit him, and the Persians came and took away the fire. But that was an interesting aside. We continue in the Gemara. Okay, so When one says befanei nechtav, it was written in front of me, and then two testify befanei nechtam, so then it's going to be kosher. Amar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now Rabbi Ami quotes Rabbi Yochanan as following, commenting on that line of the Mishnah. Lo shanu lo shaget yotzei mitachas yad eid ksiva denasu kishnayim alzeh kishnayim alzeh. Ah. So, this line of the Mishnah, again, I have now three people coming in. One, holding the get, saying b'fanei nechtav. Two, testifying b'fanei nechtam. But they're not the ones holding the get. Ah, so, Rav Yochanan, and the Mishnah says in such a case, the get is kosher. Rav Yochanan's comment on that line of the Mishnah, yes, it would be kosher, but the one who's saying b'fanei nechtav is the one holding the get. Okay, now, what does b'fanei nechtav do? We all know, at this point in the Gemara, it turns one into two, right? I'm going to say it's magic, but you know it's not magic. In other words, it's a halachic mechanism. It's more than magic. But if you have walked away for the last 2.5 weeks knowing anything, it's that, generally speaking, to establish any halachic status, I need two witnesses. When you are one delivering of the get, saying the words b'fanei nechtam, you're one that really is two. Halacha now expands you to becoming two. How does that work? Go to the very beginning of the entire sugya. The Gemara there attempts to explain. But that's all we need to know. Rav Yochanan's telling us that when one says b'fanei nechtam and two say b'fanei nechtam, so the Mishnah says it's good. But Rav Yochanan's qualifier is like this. Yes, it's good, but only when the one who is holding the get is the one saying b'fanei nechtam. That takes him and expands him to now being two. So how many now were there for the writing? Two. How many there were there for the signing? Well, the actual two. So it's two and two. Ah, that's good. Aval, but continuing in the Gemara, Aval Metachzi Yedei Dechassim Apostle. Ah, but if the one who's holding the get, meaning of the three people who came, well, one said Befanei Nechtam, and two said Befanei Nechtam, and who's holding the get right now? One of the Befanei Nechtams. So now we have a problem. It's more than a problem. It's the get's not a good get. It's a disqualified get. Why is it a disqualified get? Because I only have one person there for the b'fanei nechtav. He didn't say b'fanei nechtav, b'fanei nechtam. He didn't turn into two. Now, okay, now what comes out from all this is the following. I know this was a little bit of a confusing piece, but what comes out is the following. I got a lot of people here delivering the get, right? In other words, it's more than two. Right? Didn't we start off our morning saying, and didn't we do this yesterday as well? Then when two people are delivering a get, there's no need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. And over here, I now am learning the Mishnah with a comment by Rav Yochanan. Clearly, even when there's two, there's a need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. So I'm a little Rav Yasi. Elam yata reshet dektani shtayim omrim b'fanei nechtam. Bechen omer b'fanei nechtam pasav Rav Yehuda Machshir. And now I go back to the previous case in the Mishnah, and in the previous case, so all we did is we flipped it. Two are saying b'fanei nechtav, one says b'fanei nechtam, and you're telling me that, and I'm sorry, and the Mishnah brings down a machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda, and according to the Tanakhama, it's pasul. And you're telling me even when the two are delivering the get, it's going to be puzzle? So I'm really in. He says, yeah. I'm telling you, even when two are delivering the get, because again, in this version of Rav Yochanan, this is Rabbi Ami's version of Rav Yochanan, when two are delivering the get, there is a requirement to say, b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam. Okay. Now, at this point in time, hopefully you're a little bit confused. Not hopefully, but you should be. But you should be a little bit confused. Because we opened up today's daf with a story of Rabbi Barbachan who got sick. They went to go visit him. Halachic discussion. When two are delivering the get, do I need to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? And his answer was a very simple no. You don't need to say it. Once two are delivering the get, so then the requirement to say b'fanei nechtam is no longer needed. Ah. Now we have Rabbi Ami quoting Rabbi Yochanan. When two are delivering the get, you do need to say b'fanei nechtam. That's confusing, right? And the answer is, that's correct. That's confusing. So Zimnan, but wait, we're almost done. Zimnan Ashkechid Yasef Vekama Dafil Get Yotzei Mitachis Yidei Eid Dechasim Akasher Amma Kasav Hashem Shevo Get Mimidin Asiyam Ein Tzrichim Shiyamar B'fanei Nechtam. So, Now, there was another occasion where Rabbi Amin and Rabbi Asi are also now in halachic discourse, and they're discussing our issue. And over here, Rabbi Ami says, hey, you know what Rabbi Yochanan said? That when two are delivering the, you don't have to say b'fanei nechtev, b'fanei nechtev. Amar le Rabbi Asi, ala mi'ata reisha diktani, shnaim omrim b'fanei nechtev, v'echad omrim b'fanei nechtev, pasal Rabbi Yudah machshir, time adena get yotze mitachiz yidei shneim, haget yotze mitachiz yidei shneim, machshirei rabbanan. Ah, so in the case of the Mishnah, where two are delivering the get, so the two say, the two were there saying b'fanei nechtev. So it's the Mishnah says it's no good. But if the two are actually delivering the get, there's no need to say b'fanei nechtav. So Amar Le'in, he says, yeah, that's absolutely right. So v'hazimnen lo Amar lanhachi. So Rabbi Asi says to Rabbi Ami, you know, it's funny because we had this discussion already. You quoted Rabbi Yochanan, and don't you remember? Meaning in our Gemara, it's, you know, the two Gemaras are back to back. So for us, it's easy to see. But in other words, Rabbi Asi says to Rabbi Ami, I listen to you when you talk. And you're telling me that previously that Rabbi Yochanan said when two deliver, they do have to say, b'fanei nechtev, b'fanei nechtev. So Amar Lei Yasid Hu Shelo Tamut. And he said to him, the pillar doesn't budge. And Rashi explains over here that of these two Lashonos of Rabbi Yochanan, so the last one that I just quoted, that's the one that you don't move from. Meaning, I know it's confusing. I know I quoted Rav Yochanan in two different ways. Right? Stick with the most recent one that I just said. That's the bona fide. That's the one that is most accurately describing Rav Yochanan's viewpoint. Conclusion of the Gemara of a slightly difficult and definitely a little bit of a messy Gemara in terms of range of positions, even within the one Amar Rav Yochanan. But when two are delivering the get, so they do not have to say b'fanei nechtev, b'fanei nechtev. That's the conclusion. Okay. We're on Yuzayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to be opening up now a new discussion here in the Masechta. And today's daf is unbelievably popular. In the yeshivas where they choose to learn Gittin, right? You already heard me in the beginning of the Masech. That's a curious choice, meaning I totally understand it. The number of issues that we're discussing here in Gittin in terms of large Shas topics are huge. But after that, short of that, though, in other words, the macro of the Masech is that we're talking about divorce, right? It's, you know, a little bit strange that, you know, as a popular Masech amongst the yeshivas, hey, let's learn about divorce, okay? But after you leave that and you get into the micro, so the issues I totally understand are related issues. In the yeshivas, this daf today, specifically our Mishnah and the upcoming Gemara's discussion, extraordinarily popular. If the get is written and signed on the same day, it's going to be kosher. The Mishnah gives three different ways to describe it. And that is number one, that the get is written and signed on the same day. Number two, the get is written and signed on the same night. Alternatively, the get is written on the night prior and signed the following day. In all three of those examples, so now we have a match between the day that the get is written and the day that the get is signed. Meaning, even in the last example, where it was written the night prior and then signed the next day, so we all know, as far as halachic dating is concerned, so last night is the same as today. Okay, so in all three of those examples, so the get's going to be a good get. So, b'yom v'nechtam b'layla, but what in the following? What if the get is written during the day, and then the following night the get is signed? So now, pasul. So this is a predated get, and predated gets are pasul. And Rabbi Shimon Machshir Shaya, Rabbi Shimon Amar Kol Agin Shenichtav Beyom Venachtam Abalayla Psulim Chutz Megitei Nashim. And Rabbi Shimon says that the get, in fact, would be a good get, even though it's predated. By other shtaros, so predated shtaros in other areas of Allah, in other words, in all kinds of civil law. So predated documents are going to be pasul. They will be disqualified documents. But when it comes to get, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be kosher. It'll be fine. Okay, so.
Is there a reason for that?
A great question. The answer, of course, is yes. Stay tuned. Everything is going to be discussed. Okay, so what we have in our Mishnah over here is number one, right, coming out of nowhere, there's a requirement to date a get. Now, I say coming out of nowhere, meaning, obviously, this is the first time in the Masechta that we're talking about dating the document. And then, obviously, we're not just talking about dating this document, we're talking about dating all documents. Okay, so a date in a document. So let's for a moment leave the world of get. Let's just talk for a moment about civil law and a requirement to date a document. So a loan, let's talk nice and simple. So when it comes to a loan, so you're going to need to date the document. Do you know why? We all know why. This, just a little bit of common sense, but it's more than common sense. It's also the halacha as well. And that is that once you date a document, so now what you do is that you have now a lien on that property, right? And that lien starts at when the document was dated. Oh. So now you have an ability to go to anyone who purchased that property where you had a lien on that property, and now you have the right to exercise that lien. Now he's going to say to you, wait 1 second, when did your lien start? Maybe I bought the property before your lien began. And so now we're going to be matching dates. In other words, he's going to take out his title in terms of when he purchased the property, and you're going to take out your starchov, your note. And if your date happens to predate his date, so you're going to obviously going to have the upper hand. My lien came before your purchase of the property. Okay. I'm now going to exercise my lien. I'm taking that property away from you. Okay. Good. So now you can totally understand. We can all understand that if a note is going to be predated, so what that's going to do now is that's going to be giving a fictitious lien to the lender. The lender now, in other words, you can't manufacture a lien on a property. The lien is only going to begin when the loan actually begins. And if you go ahead and you start predating the document, so now what that's going to do is that's going to illegally, illicitly take property away from a buyer when meanwhile you had no right to do so. Okay. So when it comes to a shtar chov, so you totally understand, we all understand why predating is out of the question. It's more than out of the question. It disqualifies the note. Okay, so that part's clear. But now we're talking about a get. Okay, now a get obviously is not a financial arrangement. There are collateral, perfect. There are collateral financial fallouts from the get, but the get itself is just simply there to create severance between husband and wife. In other words, husband and wife, no longer. That's what a get does. Now, granted, by the way, there's financial collateral. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But that's what a get is.
But it's a separate document, the financial
document.
No.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to discuss. So let's just hold. But the get itself is not a financial vehicle. It's just there to create severance between husband and wife. So does it need to be dated? The answer is no. However, the Chachamim said, I know the answer is no. We're going to require it. We're going to require a date in the get. The question I hope you're wondering right now is why? Why would they do that? So stay tuned because we're about to answer that question. This is all just hopefully a good setup for the Gemara's discussion. Okay.
The Mishnah doesn't explicitly say anything about dating the get. That's just the assumption the Gemara is making.
Yes. In other words, in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah is highlighting that it has to be written and signed on the same day. In other words, then if there is a lag between the writing and the signing, where they're no longer on the same day, so according to the Tanakhama, the get's no good. And Rabbi Shimon says the get's good.
The assumption is that they're
correct.
That doesn't say that.
Correct.
What? I'm sorry.
David is saying is that the Mishnah does not actually use the word dating. The Mishnah is just talking about writing and signing. And so the what the issue is in the Mishnah, even though it's not explicitly stated, but in the Gemara it will be explicit, is that this is a dating issue. Right. Correct. Itmar. And now with that stated, so let's start with the Gemara. And by the way, before we start with the Gemara, again, this is only going to get a little bit complicated because in the Mishnah, we have a machlokas. Right? This is a part that's important to remember. And that is that there's a Tanakhama and there's a Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakhama will tell you that any time that the date is not properly reflecting the time she got divorced, it's no good. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's fine. Rabbi Shimon will agree that when it comes to monetary contracts, so it's not fine. But by Gerisha, it would be fine. So we have a machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. You need to hold that thought. But now we go to the Gemara. So why is there an institution of writing a date in a get? So the Gemara over here gives us two basic explanations in terms of why. Let's start with Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, because here's the story. Story goes like this. You married your niece. I know that's funny, But back in the day, it was done. More than that, back in the day, was encouraged. Now, wait a second. She's a relative. You can't marry her. So what you have to do is you have to catch up a little bit on which relatives you can marry and which relatives you can't marry. In other words, you have to go through the Parshios of Achrimos and Kedoshim, go through the listing of relatives that you can marry. The list is extensive. Then after that, you go to the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Chav, Chaf Aleph, where there you have the Shnios. In other words, the rabbinic secondary relatives that you cannot marry. And it takes a large list and it really expands it. Okay? So after you do those two things, you will now know which relatives you can't marry. However, a carve out in that there is a one relative that you're allowed to marry, and that is you're allowed to marry your niece. Okay? I understand in modern society that it's socially unacceptable. In American law, legal, illegal? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it is.
You think, yes, it's illegal?
It's legal.
Oh, it's legal. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm saying we're bound by the laws of land. Anyway, in halacha, it's perfectly allowed. And again, there are a couple of gemaras out there that even encourage it. Okay, and over here, so you married your niece, and now what? So now the marriage didn't go over so well. Why do I say that? Because she committed adultery. Okay, so right, and now we have a problem. And not only did she commit adultery, but Nebuch, she did so with witnesses telling her not to do so. And now you have two witnesses who actually warned her, and she did it anyway. So now she's on death row. Okay, she is subject to the chenek penalty. She's going to be strangled to death as per the punishment for someone who was warned not to commit adultery. Okay, and doing so under the warning not to do so. So now she's subject to the chenek penalty. Now on one hand, the husband is extraordinarily unhappy that his wife cheated on him. On the other hand, it's his niece. And not just Denise, by the way, it's his sister's daughter. Okay, so what he's going to do is the following: a cover up. So what he'll do is that quickly he'll get the sofer and he'll have him write a get for her, and he'll divorce her, and he'll tell the sofer, oh, by the way, don't date the document. Okay, now what she'll do is that she'll go into the Beis Din as her trial unfolds, and she'll go to the Beis Din and she'll say, okay, look, what I did was terrible, but I was a divorced woman at the time; I wasn't married. Here's the get, and there's no date on it. Okay, now, in order to try to put an end to such a maneuver, so therefore what the Chachamim did is the Chachamim said, we're going to require you to write a date on this, so therefore it will impede your ability to cover up such a problem. Now, I know what I just did is I didn't do anything, by the way. I'm explaining the Gemara. So so I know what Rav Yochanan did is Rav Yochanan made an elaborate scheme, and now an institution, a rabbinic institution, in order to prevent that elaborate scheme. That seems a little bit strange, right? That we're going to be creating a rabbinic institution all because of one event. Now, it's not one event. In other words, it could happen on a number of occasions, but how often are we talking about this? Where there's the wife cheating and the cover-up because you have Rachmanis, it's your sister's daughter.
She has to receive a get. So the get doesn't take effect until she receives it.
Correct.
So it doesn't matter what the date is written.
Because what she'll do is she'll go into the courtroom and she'll say...
But the divorce is retroactive to the date of the get.
But if there is no date on the get, she'll go into the courtroom, she'll simply argue, I've been a divorced woman now for some time.
Right. That's the latest time they could.
In other words, the court doesn't know. If there is no date on the get, so the court simply doesn't know. Okay. In other words, again, the court will probably try to ascertain to the best of their ability, well, when was the get delivered? Right? Bring me the edim of the get. And again, in her cover up mode, she'll just simply say, I don't know, it was such a long time ago. I don't know where those edim are. Okay. So that's Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan says is that to prevent cover-ups, so therefore you date the document. Now let's turn our attention to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish Amar Peiros. And now we get to the financial collateral damage of divorce. When a husband's married to a woman, so he's got Nechse Melug, we've described this many times, and we get to describe it again right now today. And that is that when the woman comes into the marriage with property, so that property is hers, it remains hers, however, he's entitled to all production of that property, produce, okay? So he gets dividends. Now, let's just talk about a field. In other words, she comes in with a field and it's got orchards on it. The husband, as part of the marriage, the marriage contract, is entitled to all fruit that comes off the tree. The fruit are his. That's Nechse Malok. And that obviously will continue until divorce. Okay. Now, if there's no date on the get, so what Reish Lakish will tell you is that here comes the problem. The problem now is that she got divorced and the husband's going to continue going into her field and taking the fruit illegally. Now she's going to take him to court and she's going to say, wait one second, what are you doing? We've been divorced now for a year and you're coming, you're taking fruit from my property? You're a thief. I'm sure she has other things to say about him as well, but right now she's going to accuse him of being a thief and she'll take him to court. Now when they go to the court, so now what's going to happen? Okay, so let's see the documentation. She says, we're divorced. Okay, brave, show me the paperwork. She brings in her get. Now, if the get doesn't have a date on it, now what? So now her case is totally, her case is totally diminished. Well, I'm telling you, look at the get. Okay, the basin's looking at the get, doesn't have a date on it. I don't know when you got a divorce, meaning we know you were married. We also know you were divorced. We don't know when you got a divorce. And now he's holding on to the peros. Okay. We can't take it away from him. In order to prevent this from happening, so what you do is that you date the get, and now you know exactly when the divorce took place. If he took the peros after the date of the get, obviously he's a thief, and he must return it or reimburse her for all the peros that he took. Okay, so there are two opinions amongst the Amoraim why exactly we date the document. Rav Yochanan says to prevent a cover-up, and Reish Lakish says to protect her and her peers. Okay, good. With all that stated, the Gemara now is going to discuss, meaning, why didn't Reish Lakish give Rabbi Yochanan's response? Why not vice versa? You know the drill. Let's go through the Gemara. Reish Lakish, my time alamak, Rabbi Yochanan. So why doesn't Reish Lakish hold of Rabbi Yochanan? So amalucha is nusol shchicha. So what Reish Lakish will tell you is basically, I know I made this comment earlier, but you know, I prepared for today. So what Reish Lakish will tell you is, how frequently are we talking about the wife committed adultery, and now there's an attempted cover-up? The rabbis instituted dating the document in order to prevent the cover-up. Reish Lakish will tell you, Rabbi Yochanan, we're not going to have rabbinic legislation because of these events that are really uncommon. Okay, Tosus is really interesting. Tosus over here has a discussion as to whether or not adultery is common or uncommon. Okay, Tosus points to other Gemaras, notably the opening Gemara in Ksuvos that talks about adultery being a real concern. Right, women get married on a Wednesday. Right, everyone remember this. It's the first daf of Ksuvos. Why do they get married on Wednesday? Because tomorrow Beis Din is convening, and you know. Right, the marriage may not start off on the right foot. We may need to go to Beis Din. Yeah, because she committed adultery.
The refers to the niece, not to adultery.
I know, but the Gemara says, your point is very well taken. The Gemara says nus lo shchicha. Okay. Anyway, fine. So Reish Lakish will dismiss Rav Yochanan because nus lo shchicha. Now Rav Yochanan, my time alo amak Reish Lakish kasavi yish lebal peros ad chas nesina. Now, Rav Yochanan will dismiss Reish Lakish because where Rav Yochanan will say like this. Husband is able to take peros. Now, until when? Until divorce. But over here, however, divorce comes in stages. In other words, there's the writing of the get and there's the delivery of the get. What Rav Yochanan will tell you is that when does his rights to peros end? Only when the get is delivered, not when the get was written. So in other words, even if I write the get, and obviously you're going to be dating it at the time of the writing, that will not terminate his right to the peros because they are not yet divorced. The divorce only is when she is handed the get. And so therefore, even though the get is going to be dated, that won't accurately reflect when his rights to peros will come to an end. And so therefore, Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, if the whole issue is peros, well, dating the document is not going to help you because he still will be able to collect peros until the get is actually delivered to her. And that may be a week later, 2 weeks later, right? I don't want to say the vast majority. I'm no expert on getting. However, as right, if you're a usual listener, you know. So I, right, unfortunately, been to many getting. Right, my neighbor is the head of the basin here in Boca, and so calls me calls me to serve as either an aide or a dayan. And right, and most of the time, the vast majority of the time, every time I've been involved, the get has already been written, and it's not just a question of delivery and the handing of the get to the woman, and that's occurring a week, 2 weeks, whatever the lag is after the get is actually written. And what Rav Yochanan is telling you is that if you're telling me that the whole issue over here is we don't want him to illicitly take peros, well, dating the document's not going to help, because the husband can take peros until Nisina, which may be a week, 2 weeks after the get is written and dated. Okay. Bishlam al Reish Lakish. So now, what do we have right now? A get is dated. It's a rabbinic legislation. So, and why? We have two opinions in the Amoraim. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan cover up, Reish Lakish to protect her and her peris. Good. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to take these two opinions and we're going to plug it back into the Mishnah. Okay, this part of the daf now is going to be a little bit complicated. In other words, you just need to focus. I'm talking to me right now. But it's going to take the two positions, plug it back into the Mishnah. So Bishlam al Reish Lakish Mishnah Machi Kamachsha Rabbi Shimon. So now according to Reish Lakish, so now I understand. Again, Reish Lakish says, what's the issue? What's the concern about predated get according to Reish Lakish? So it's going to be Peros and protecting the woman and her Peros. So and now we understand why Rabbi Shimon says that a predated get is going to be kasher. Do you know why? So for Reish Lakish, it's because Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah says that when can the husband no longer be entitled to peros? The moment. Now I'm going to say it, even though I don't exactly know what I mean. And Rashi over here quotes it. It's a Gemara coming up. So Kevan Shenasan Inav Ligarsha. When he makes the mental decision that he's going to divorce her, it's at that point in time he can no longer have peros. Okay. Kind of hard to tell you when exactly that's going to be, right? Rachmana's divorce is obviously coming in stages. The thought to divorce her, the writing of the get, the delivery of the get, and I'm sure if, you know, you can map out more than that. But according to Rabbi Shimon, once he's nosing ein of Lagarsha, once he makes the mental decision that he's going to divorce her, he's no longer entitled to peros. Ah. So now you understand that according to Rabbi Shimon, so Ishtar Muktam is going to be acceptable. Why? Because even though the get is going to be dated earlier, that already properly reflects when he can no longer have the peros. Ah. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, if the whole reason of dating the document, the dating the get, is to prevent her from a loss of peros. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it doesn't matter because already from the time that he decides to divorce her, he's no longer entitled to the peros. It's according to the Chachamim that when can the husband no longer have the peros? Only at the Shas Nesina.
But the woman would need some kind of documentation, even if you go by according to Rabbi Shimon, that like when he made the decision. How would she be able to document when that time was if she's going to go after?
Correct. That's exactly the point. There's no way to document it. That's exactly the point. So El the Rabbi Yochanan, my time of the Rabbi Shimon. Now the Machshir, good. So in other words, from Reish Lakish's standpoint, I can easily see the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. It's going to be a function of when the husband's no longer entitled to peros. Good, and that's the key machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon, and for Reish Lakish. It's easy to spell out the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. However, according to Rav Yochanan, who says that the whole reason of instituting date is because of cover-up and preventing cover-up, what's the difference between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon? What are they arguing about? So, Amlecha Rav Yochanan, Liba de Rabbi Shimon, Loka Amina. Ki Kamina, Liba de Rabbanan. And what Rav Yochanan will tell you is like this. I'm only providing explanation for the Tanakama, that is it. Meaning Rabbi Shimon? Oh. Rabbi Shimon will tell you that the whole issue is that of peros. And meaning, I'm going to grant you that the only way to explain Rabbi Shimon is through the lens of Reish Lakish. I will give you that. But I'm not here to explain Rabbi Shimon. I'm only here to explain the Chachamim. Why, according to the Chachamim, do you need to date a document? The reason why is because to prevent a cover-up. Ah. So, Bishlam al-Rav Yochanan, Hainu Dika bin Rabbi Shimon al-Rabbanan. So the Gemara now says, okay, So now, according to Rav Yochanan, meaning not only is there a machlokus in the Mishnah, but there is a very pronounced difference between Rav Yochanan, I'm sorry, between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon of the Mishnah. Meaning, what are the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon arguing about? Whether or not a dated get is required. Tanakhama says it is, and Rabbi Shimon says it's not. And according to Rav Yochanan, there's also machlokus in terms of the reason why. Meaning, if I ask the Chachamim, why is there a requirement to date a document to prevent cover-up? If I ask Rabbi Shimon, why is there a requirement to date a document, or why do you have no requirement to date a document? So Rabbi Shimon will tell you, well, I think the issue is peros. And anyway, the husband loses his peros the moment that he sets sight on divorcing his wife. And so therefore, dating the document will have nothing to do with this. Oh, okay. So Rabbi Yochanan now has an extraordinarily pronounced difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon and the Mishnah. And that's good. Well, machlokus is not good, but in other words, there's a really hard line separating the Tanakhama and Reish Lakish. Sorry. The Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. But Ela le Reish Lakish ma'ika bein Rabbi Shimon le Rabbanan. But according to Reish Lakish, what is the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? Meaning they're both using the Svara of Peros. So now what's the difference? Now what happens to be, we already know the answer. This is just the Gemara's way of spelling it out again. So, okay, the Gemara says, the difference is, when does a husband retain his rights to collect peros? According to the Tanakhama, it's up until Nisina. According to Rabbi Shimon, Kevin Shenosav in of the Garsha, it's then and only then that the husband can collect peros. From that point going forward, he can't collect peros. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I thought that this issue of when the husband can collect peros, machlokus Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and it's exactly the opposite of what we've been saying so far this morning, epoch. So the Gemara says, you're right. The way we just presented Rabbi Shimon and Rav Yochanan, you have to flip it. Because now it perfectly matches the way we've been presenting it this morning. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of... That's a tricky piece of Gemara. Meaning, why did the rabbis institute dating a get? So we have two opinions amongst the Amorim, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says to prevent a cover-up. Reish Lakish says to make sure and to protect her and her peros so that the husband does not illicitly take it. And then, that already is tricky. And then what the trickier part is, which we just did, is how is Rav Yochanan and or Reish Lakish going to be learning the machlokus in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon? And just quickly to outline it, quickly, according to Reish Lakish, huge difference. The Tanakhama has the dating of the get being a function of preventing a cover-up, and that's why the Tanakhama says that if you do not date the get correctly, the get's going to be pasul. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, the whole dating of the get is a function of peros. But also Rabbi Shimon's of the position, husband loses the rights to the peros the moment that he decides to divorce her. So therefore, the dating of the get is totally immaterial. Okay. That is according to Reish Lakish. And according to Rav Yochanan, there's a finer difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon. Because according to Rav Yochanan, according to Reish Lakish, the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shimon, they both are subscribing to peros, that we're dating the document because of peros. It happens to be that according to the Chachamim, husband is able to collect peros until Shas Nesina, until the get is delivered, which is why the get has to be dated on the same day in which it's delivered, so that he will not come and illicitly take peros.
So there's a per diem factor.
Yes. Nachon. And according to Rabbi Shimon will tell you no. Meaning, he agrees that the svara behind dating has to do with peros, but it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon will tell you that he already loses peros from the time that he sets his eyes to divorce her. Okay, I'm going to finish the daf. It's going to take a quick couple of minutes.
Also, probably, based on what we learned in Yevamos, where she can't get remarried for a certain time frame, 3 months.
Right.
The date probably also has to affect that as well, because
it's a very good point. That's a very good point. The Gemara over here does not take that into consideration, but that's also an excellent point. Amar le Abai le Rav Yosef Gimel Gittin Psulim v'in Nisitz Avlad Kasher. So Mahu le Chacham Metakanasam Ahanu le Chetchil Lo Sinase. Okay. So the Gemara is bothered. Abai asks Rav Yosef, you know the Mishnah says that if the get doesn't have a date on it, so it's not ideal, but in other words, we're not going to say she's not divorced. We're not going to say that if she remarries and she has a child, the child is a mamzer. Meaning the date is a rabbinic institution, but we're not going to go so far to say that because of rabbinic institution, now we're going to totally view her as a non-divorced woman, i.e. a married woman, who now has relations with another man, producing a child. The child is a mamzer. We're not going to go that far. So, and then the Gemara is bothered, well, if we're not going to go that far, so then what's the point of the institution? Meaning if the rabbis required a zman beget, so then you're telling me that, okay, but push comes to shove, we're not going to tell it, we're not going to view her as a non-divorced woman. So the Gemara says, I know, but the lachatchila. Okay, the Gemara says that the purpose of the institution is we're looking at an ideal. What's the ideal? The ideal is that, we want getting to be dated. Okay. But not disqualify a get for the absence of a date. Gazil is man di day, viyavi niale mai. Let's say the following were to occur, and that is that the get was dated, and then, somebody cut the date out of the get. Literally with scissors or a knife, cut it out of the get. So my amale la ramai lo chayshinan. So the Gemara says, okay, we're not worried about ramai. In other words, we're not going to disqualify the get. Obviously suspicious, but we're not going to disqualify the get on account of that. And finally, our last Q&A for today. Kasabo shavu ashana chodesh shabbos mai. So let's say the following, and that is that we wrote the year of when the get was delivered, but that's all the information we have. In other words, it's dated, but the dating is not particularly precise. We only know what year it was given, or we know what month it was given, or we know which week it was given. So I'm really kasher. So the get's going to be kasher. Uma ohila chachamim b'takanasa. So ohila l'shavu d'kamei l'shavu d'basrei. So the Gemara says, look, even though right now I have it as what year the get was given, and that's all the information, the Gemara says that's still good enough. Obviously, you can sharpen the dating, but even if I give as long as I give a range of time in which the get was given, so the Gemara says that'll be fine. Ilo tema achi yuma gufe miyadin and mitzafrei mipanya ela liyume de kamei liyume de basrei hachenami ayin l'shavu de kamei l'shavu de basrei. The Gemara says, take the following into consideration. Even if I give the sharpest dating of the document where I express the year, the month, and even the day in which it was given, still, that doesn't tell me exactly when the get was given. I now know, prior to that day, she was not divorced. After that day, she was divorced. So what I have basically is a marker in which I know before she was married, after she was divorced. But within that given day, meaning even, I'm looking at the get as a forensic, as a way of trying to determine when she was divorced. If I'm looking at the get, I still don't know when in the day she was divorced. Okay. But at least what the dating did is that it gives me a time period before and it gives me a time period afterwards, even though there is an interval of time I don't know. So the Gemara says so, fine. So if I were to expand that to, let's say, a week or a month or a year, it still accomplishes the general goal of, I know before that time she was married, I know after that time she was divorced. Okay, obviously, it's better if I can somehow limit it to a given day. Especially when you think about Reish Lakish, meaning according to Reish Lakish, right, what's the whole goal over here? To protect her and her peros. Meaning if I only have now a year in which I know she was divorced, okay, that gives him, you know, a lot of time to go ahead and to illegally collect peros. Obviously, it's not good, but it's somewhat effective. I know after that year, the peros are her. I know before that year, the peros belong to him. So it accomplishes a goal. It's not the best, but it accomplishes a goal. So the Gemara says that even if the dating is not super accurate, it's not to the day, but as long as it provides me some time frame, that's good.